This morning we have a text from Ezekiel 17, and the last three verses of this chapter. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I will set it out. I will break off a tender one from the topmost of its young twigs. I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. What does that mean? Without knowing the context, it's almost impossible to tell what Ezekiel is talking about. And especially this chapter here for us, like I said, we're given the last three verses of a whole chapter that is almost all figurative language. And without context, we're supposed to know what it means, right? No. It's hard to tell, especially in a book like Ezekiel, which is maybe one of the most complex books in the Old Testament. It's hard to know what is going on in these three verses without digging into some history. So let's roll up the sleeves a little bit and let's look at some Old Testament history. Now, Ezekiel is a prophet, and this prophet is speaking to the Jews who are in exile. Now, you all have heard of King David. He's the great king of Israel. But not long after King David was king, not long after his reign, the nation of Israel split into two kingdoms, two nations. They kind of had a civil war. The northern kingdom we refer to as Israel. The southern kingdom, which is where Jerusalem is located, we refer to as Judah. And in this passage specifically, Ezekiel is talking to the Jews who were in exile, who were originally from the southern kingdom of Judah. Now, both of these kingdoms eventually fell. First, Israel was invaded by foreign people, and then several years later, the kingdom of Judah was invaded and fell to them. And once invaded, the Jews of both nations were kind of taken hostage, or most of them were taken hostage, and they were dispersed around the Middle Eastern lands, the Middle Eastern countries. This is what they refer to as the exile. They were taken out of their homeland and exiled to other places. This is important because they were exiled out of a land that God had given them. It is the land of promise. If you've been coming to our Sunday morning Bible studies on Genesis, we hear a lot about the land of promise. They were exiled away from this land. Now, in preaching to these Jews in exile, Ezekiel reminds the people of God about their sin, about how they were rebellious against the Lord, how they were unfaithful, how even though God took these people aside, made them his own, called them his children, cared for them, spoke tenderly to them, making a covenant with them, saying, you will be my people, I will be your God. Even though God has done all these things for them, they could not remain faithful to him. So they broke this covenant with God. They broke faith with God. And as a result of breaking this covenant, this agreement they had with God, that he would be their God and they would be his people, a punishment for this was to lose their land, to be sent into exile. And so Ezekiel and the rest of the prophets warn the people of God that this is going to happen, that they're going to be sent into exile. And not only that, but God is going to ordain it so that it will be so, that so foreign invaders will come in at the hand of God and take them away from this land that he has given them, that they will be conquered. And so when the southern kingdom of Judah, when it's their turn to receive this punishment from God, God sends a vast, growing empire named the Babylonians in to conquer them, to take them over. They become God's instrument of punishment. And Ezekiel and the prophets understand that the Babylonians, that what they did in conquering and plundering Judah was done according to God's will. It was God who willed it that this people would come in and take his people away. Now, when Babylon invaded the southern kingdom of Judah, they went in and they took a lot of people away. They also took the king of Judah at that time, a man by the name of Jehoiachin. And they took him and they kind of made him a political prisoner. They sent him off into the middle of the Babylonian kingdom, away from his home country, so that he couldn't be a troublemaker there. And they made him a political prisoner. And in turn, they took his uncle, a man named Zedekiah, and made him king. And in so doing, the plan was that, you know, we're going to make you king, so you're going to be faithful to us. You're going to be king over this group of people that we're going to leave in your homeland. And in so doing, you're going to make sure that you remain faithful to the Babylonians. We're setting you up. You honor us. Now, you're going to pay tribute. You're going to pay taxes to us. You're going to be basically a vassal state of the Babylonian Empire, but we're going to do you some favors here. That was the deal, that the people of Judah, that King Zedekiah, would live contented lives under Babylonian rule in their own homeland. Now, Ezekiel, the prophet, recounts this story to the people in exile. And he largely does so by telling them a parable. He uses figurative language and figurative things to characterize the people of the story. He characterizes Babylon as an eagle, a great winged eagle that swoops in and takes a twig off the top of a cedar. Now, cedars were a very common thing and were kind of well known in Israel at that time. They were known for their cedars. It's why the temple was largely made of cedar. And so this eagle, that is Babylon, comes in and swoops in and takes a twig away from the topmost cedar and takes it off and plants it away in a far off land. That's the first king that I spoke of, taking the king away and putting him off in Babylon. But this eagle also grabs hold of a seed and goes and plants it in beautiful, rich dirt. We got some friends here from Park River today. They know that the dirt out there, that's the dirt in Park River. You can dig for feet and it'll still be this beautiful black soil. I was a little taken back when I planted my raspberries, and within 6 inches I was finding sand and all sorts of other junk down there. So I actually stole some dirt from the farm and brought it back to plant my raspberries in. The eagle takes the seed and plants it in beautiful, black, good, abundant soil. Plants it in a place where there's beautiful running waters to feed the seed. The eagle, Babylon, wants to tend this plant, make it something that's going to produce many branches and boughs and produce good, abundant fruit. As the seed, King Zedekiah and this country, the southern kingdom of Judah, even though they are under the occupation of Babylon, they're given everything they need to become a healthy vine, to produce good fruit, many branches. And the implication that Ezekiel gives the people is that this is the will of God. That even though they are under a foreign invader, it is God's will that they still be taken care of, that they still become producing, that they are still loved, even in their discipline that is given by the Lord. God's hand is very much at work in these people. But Zedekiah and the people of Judah cannot see the hand of God working in the Babylonians. And so Zedekiah and the Judeans rally, and they make a deal with Egypt in order to try and overthrow the Babylonians, to win back their freedom outright. But the rebellion fails miserably, and it's very short-lived. Ezekiel, at this point, continues his parable, and he describes this vine that is planted in beautiful, rich soil as one that is just not satisfied. And so it crawls away eventually and tries to find other soil, soil that is lesser, that is not there, that isn't well watered. It tries to replant itself somewhere else. It refuses to trust in the Lord's providence and goes another way. And so then Ezekiel gives the word of the Lord to the people with a bunch of rhetorical questions. And he says, will this vine thrive? Will Babylon not pull up its roots and cut it off so that its fruit withers, so that it dies? Judah failed to see the work of God through Babylon. Failed to see that the oath they made with the Babylonians was really an oath they were making to God. Ezekiel tells them, thus says the Lord God, as I live, surely it is my oath that you despised, my covenant that you broke. Everything about the exile was orchestrated by the Lord God Almighty. The punishment, yes, but also the care that the people would receive, even at the hands of a foreign people. The prophets foretold it and proclaimed the word of God to the people, yet this people could not trust God when things were good, and they certainly couldn't trust God when things looked bad. They couldn't see that even in captivity, God was the active agent, that God was the one providing for them. Again, if you've been at Bible study, as we're going through the book of Genesis, we've said this, I think, more than a few times, that the Lord really works in mysterious ways, and the Lord really brings good things out of what seem to be the most despicable things that human nature is able of doing. The Lord does work in mysterious ways, and really that's often unfair. It just feels unfair. Because when God works in mysterious ways, it's hard to see that it is God working in the first place. God working to meet our day-to-day needs in our lives. And it's so hard to believe in what we can't plainly see. And so the result is that we struggle then with faith. We struggle in our trust of God like the Judeans did. Maybe you've seen a poster or a bumper sticker or a billboard that says, let go, let God. Maybe you've seen that. Easier said than done. Whether it's in trusting God in your finances or in your relationships or in any countless things, your daily needs, it is easier said than done to let go, let God. Good times and in bad, trusting in God, remaining faithful to the one in whom we pray, give us this day our daily bread. That's hard to do. It's hard to do. Like Zedekiah and Judah, we so often cannot let go, let God. But this finally is where our text from Ezekiel comes in. Because God never leaves his people without hope, without promise. He doesn't do it then, and he doesn't do it now. After Judah failed to trust and to let God work through Babylon, to trust that their oath made to Babylon was an oath made to God, God gives them hope. And though they were faithless, God remained faithful. The Lord says, I myself, it is emphatic, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of a cedar. I myself, not some other eagle, will plant it on high in a lofty mountain. God tells the people, no longer am I going to work through the agency of another. I'm going to do it for you, like he did. God himself will act as the eagle. He will grab the tender sprig from the cedar that is Judah and plant it high up above all others. Now again, just a quiz here. For those that have been in Bible study, we talked about Judah. We've talked about Judah before. Who eventually comes from the line of Judah? Make me proud now. Who eventually comes from the line of Judah? Jesus does. Jesus does. First we get King David, but then Jesus comes from the line of Judah. From the people, the tribe of Judah. The Lord takes a sprig from the most high of all the cedars of Judah, and he will plant it high on a lofty mountain. This sprig becomes more than just a faithless king. This cedar is a pretty amazing cedar, because this cedar is going to bear fruit. And as far as I know, cedar don't bear fruit, but this one will. It'll be both cedar and vine, and it will have great branches, and it will bear much fruit. Every kind of bird will live under its protection, and a day will come when all other trees will know that this is the tree. When untrusting people are held captive in sin and faithlessness, Ezekiel points to the work that God will do. He points to a sprig chosen and planted by God, a sprig that would be both mighty tree and true vine. He points to Jesus Christ. Even so long ago, he points to Jesus Christ. He will do what he needs to do to rescue his people. He points to the one whom God will plant high on a mountain named Calvary, in order to bring the sprig low to the tomb for you. Ezekiel points towards him through whom sinners, lowly, withered by doubt, by fear, by mistrust, by our sin, are given forgiveness, given grace, and given the faith to pray, to trust in God. In Christ we find refuge and shelter, like the birds of the air find refuge and shelter under the mighty cedar of the Lord. And in Christ we pray and trust that God will give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In Christ, who was made low for us, we then are brought high and made to flourish. Let us pray. Gracious and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the testimony of Ezekiel, for the great and mighty sprig that you have planted in Jesus Christ, to be our refuge, to be our strength, to be the one in whom we will find salvation, through the one who died on the tree. Lord, help us to live lives of faith and trust, knowing that you can claim all things for your own good purposes. Help us to trust in your promises, to trust in your goodness. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen.